Food Heals Nation, what have you been doing lately when it comes to truly caring for your skin? Have you tried any of the light therapy facials or the LED masks? I've shared on this show how I use lasers to completely remove my brown spots in the past, and I love anything that can help me with wrinkles or blemishes or redness or scars. I find a lot of great products on YouTube that I test out, and I've just discovered a new brand. It's called Lima. And when you see the before and afters on YouTube, you're going to be a convert too. They are changing the way that you care for your skin on actually a profoundly scientific level. This is the Lima laser. It's the world's most powerful clinic-grade cosmetic laser device and the only laser FDA cleared for at-home use. Why this is important is because I was spending, I'm not going to tell you how much, way too much money years ago when I was getting rid of those brown spots, when I was really healing my skin. And now this same type of technology is available at home, and I'm here for it. I am so excited. So this is a near infrared laser light that penetrates deep into the dermis, simultaneously working on your fat, muscle, and bone to give you like a non-surgical facelift. It transforms your skin. It helps skin issues like wrinkles, sagging, blemishes, pigmentation, redness, breakouts, and scars. And it does this with zero damage, zero pain, and zero downtime. And I remember the lasers that I used to do, they did have some downtime, so this is great. Make sure to check out some of the before and after photos on the website so you can see what I'm talking about. They have YouTube videos too. But the reason it's groundbreaking is it uses that near-infrared low-level light technology, which is completely cold and painless, and it's 100 times more powerful than an LED. And the craziest part is you can even use it with a full face of makeup. So check it out for yourself. Visit lima.life. L is for live, Y is for younger, M is for masterful, A is for approved, and learn more about the Lima laser. If you're interested in trying one today, you can sign up for their newsletter. Tell them that Food Heals sent you, and please let me know if you order one. I want to hear about your results. Again, it's lima.life, LYMA.life. You're listening to the Food Heals Podcast.
Warning, side effects of this podcast may include increased health and vitality, thoughts of living longer, developing a more positive outlook on life, an increase in sexual activity, feelings of joy, cravings for kale and quinoa, and a spike in Tinder matches. In rare cases, people have experienced a strong desire to put down the Ben and Jerry's, get off the couch, and take a walk outside. If you experience any of these symptoms, tell your Facebook friends immediately.
All right, welcome Food Heals Nation. Thanks for joining me. I'm Allison Melody. Have you ever tasted something so good, so fresh, that you realize, oh my gosh, now that I've had it this way, I can never go back to my old way of eating something? Well, that's how I feel about olive oil, and I'm going to help you taste some amazingly fresh olive oil too for just a dollar. But let me back up. The first time I went to Italy, I finally tasted real olive oil for the first time. Now, it wasn't that I had never had olive oil before, you know, in the US, but the difference was I was tasting this olive oil that was fresh made from olives that were growing on the property in Ravello on the Amalfi Coast where I was staying. And it was just a tasting experience I will never forget. I ended up shipping like 6 bottles of it home because at that point I was like, now that I've tasted what real olive oil is supposed to taste like, I could never go back to store-bought olive oil. Well, the same thing happened to TJ Robinson, also known as the Olive Oil Hunter and today's guest on Food Heals. TJ learned that olive oil packs the most flavor and the healthiest nutrients when it's fresh from the farm. And that's the problem with typical supermarket olive oil. They're just not fresh. They can sit on the shelf for many months. They get stale. It doesn't get better with age, unlike wine. That's why I now get my olive oil direct from small award-winning farms, handcrafted, hand-picked by TJ. So you're going to hear me today do an olive oil tasting with TJ. It was so much fun. And I've been using the olive oil now for a couple of weeks. The olive oils are delicious. They're so good. You can make a salad dressing. You could just put it directly on salad. You can fry in your frying pan with these olive oils. They're great on veggies, raw veggies, cooked veggies. I've made pasta with them now. It is So much fun. They taste so good. And as an introduction to his fresh pressed olive oil club, TJ has this amazing offer for Food Heals Nation. He'll send you a full-size $39 bottle of one of the world's finest, most artisanal olive oils, fresh from the new harvest, for just $1 to help him cover shipping. There's no commitment to buy anything now or ever. He just wants you to give it a try. And if you like it, then maybe you'll join the club. So you can get your free $39 bottle for just $1 shipping at getfresh323.com. That's getfresh323.com. All right, next up, my interview with TJ.
The Food Heals Podcast starts now.
He is an award-winning chef, food journalist, and olive oil sommelier. Please welcome TJ Robinson to the show. Welcome, TJ.
Thank you, Allison. So happy to be here. Excited to talk to you today about the wonders of fresh pressed olive oil and how you can leverage this tool in your kitchen.
Yes, and I'm most excited for the taste test, so I can't wait.
Yes, yes. Well, that always promises to be a lot of fun. Most people haven't ever, they don't really understand how to qualify the olive oil that they're already using and to say whether it's actually good or not. So we're going to get the skinny on how to do your own taste test in your own kitchen and discover whether your olive oil is high quality or not.
Yes, we're going to get all the juice from you about the oil. I'm so excited. So to let Food Heals Nation know, you are the founder of the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club, and they actually call you the Olive Oil Hunter. But take us back. How did you get started and how did you earn that name of the Olive Oil Hunter?
Yeah. So around 20 years ago, I visited a farm. I was a food, wine, and travel writer. And like you, I love the adventures of travel and getting to spend time with locals and learning about food and culture and the real keys to how they're living the good life and contributing to their health and their lifestyle. And you know, for me, travel is, you know, getting into the grocery stores, not hitting all the tourist sites. I like to see the keys to the culture in the markets and in mm-hmm. the and in the stores. But anyway, on this particular trip, I was at that point working for the Food Network in New York, and I was invited to Sicily on a tasting tour, I guess one would say, and mm-hmm. I was invited by a family to visit a harvest. So we spent the day harvesting olive fruit, which olives are a fruit. A lot of people don't know that. And we spent the day harvesting this amazing olive fruit in Sicily on the side of this beautiful mountain overlooking the Mediterranean. And I really started to learn about how special this fruit is and that olive oil is actually a fruit juice. So we harvested that day as a family. We loaded all the bins of fruit into the back of this small Fiat Panda. It's a small Italian car. We drove to the local mill, and I learned all about the community that happens around harvest time and how, yeah. as a culture, they really celebrate this olive oil. It's their medicine. It's their culinary contribution to their table. And it's just really part of the family cultural experience that happens each year all over the Mediterranean. But that day was the first day that I got to stand in front of an olive press and have real fresh pressed olive oil at the moment of harvest. And the moment I stuck my nose in that cup, my tasting cup, I knew right then that I had been duped all along, that right? I had been served subpar quality olive oil most of my life as an American. And it really upset me. And I immediately started the process of getting this oil to America. So I was the first person to put fresh olive oil on a jet to New York, and have been doing it ever since. So that's kind of how it all started.
Well, I can relate to your story because I also felt duped, not only by olive oil, but also by wine. I'll get to that. But when I led two Food Heals retreats to Italy. Oh, cool. And I really relied on my retreat partner who had been multiple times to plan this. And so here we are on the Amalfi Coast, staying at a property that grows their own grapes for the wine, grows their own olives for their olive oil. And here we are doing olive oil tastings and wine tastings. And when I tasted this olive oil, first of all, they had regular olive oil. They had lemon olive oil pressed with their lemons, orange olive oil pressed with their orange. They had a little store in town. I mean, it was as community and beautiful and sweet and organic and close to nature as you could get. And I have never tasted better olive oil or wine than in Italy on the Amalfi Coast, right fresh from the farm, from the property we were staying on. And just like you, TJ, my taste buds were blown, my mind was blown, and I was like, why is where has this been all my life? And why are
exactly. It, like, man, it just gives me goosebumps thinking about it. But I totally get your experience. And that's what that experience is what I try to give my club members all the time in their home. So each quarter, I follow a global harvest. So I'm traveling around the world. And we'll get more into that. But this, you know, I'm a Southern boy. I grew up in the South. And I understood in the fall, we go to the cider mill. And I understand what Welch's apple juice in a jar, you know, or in a glass, whatever, tastes like compared to fresh pressed apple cider. And I understood that every fall, this is something I do with my family. And this is, you know, this tastes so much better than the stuff in the can. But it's really, there's a correlation to that experience in my childhood. And what I experienced with olive oil, that the product that I had been served in America, which we import about, even today, roughly 90% of our oil is imported. We only produce most oils produced in the U.S. in California, roughly 10% of what we consume. And, you know, it's not enough to supply America. So we rely on this imported oil. And back in those days, we were really the dumping ground for low quality oil. Americans, we don't have a trained palate. We didn't grow up around an olive grove. We don't really know what quality olive oil, the hallmark flavors we should be looking for when we're tasting olive oil. So anyway, that's kind of what led us into this, you know, this issue in America. UC Davis did a study that found, and this is going back, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago at this point, but UC Davis did a study. They bought all these olive oils from the supermarket shelves in California, and they were, all these brands were tested, and something like between 60 and 70% of them were not even, would not even qualify as extra virgin. So America has been a dumping ground for low quality olive oil. And, you know, we're finally seeing some light at the end of the tunnel there where things are improving. But you know, on the bulk commodity side of the business, there are still a lot of problems, especially with the shortage in Europe right now of olive oil and them having two really bad harvest quantity wise, low quantity harvest in a row is really just crushing the market. And that's leading to quite a few problems for consumers, which we can definitely dive into as well.
Yeah, I have so many questions, but like you're saying, so my question, first of all, is what compromises are they making if they're in a shortage? And what can we do as consumers to A, test our own olive oil to see if it is legit, and B, fix our palates, because now that I've had it, I can't go back.
I know. Well, so there's really, there comes a point here where there's two big divisions. There's two roads you can go down in olive oil. And one is a boutique artisanal process. This would be like visiting a local grove, like you with a family. They control the fruit. They control the growing of the fruit. They also have typically their own mill on property. So the olives are rushed to pressing. So it's a high quality product, and it is sold directly from that farm. That's an artisanal and also used for global olive oil competitions. There's a big, you know, competitive side to olive oil production too, in the artisanal side of things. And then there is the bulk commodity side of olive oil. So this would be the things you would find most likely in your supermarket, the bigger supermarket brands. When you look at a label and it has 4 or 5 different countries of origin on it, that tells you not a lot of love, not a lot of care, and also it is a higher yield product. The goal of a commodity producer is yield. So they want to get as much oil as possible out of their fruit, versus the artisanal side, which is looking for maximum flavor and maximum health benefits. So we can definitely, as we go into the tasting, talk about what those hallmarks are that you would taste between the two different sides of the olive oil market. But that's kind of an overarching view of olive oil.
Okay. Yeah. It kind of reminds me, I mean, a lot of products are like this. It's either artisan or mass produced, right? Okay. Including wine. And that's a big problem. Like when they are using chemicals to make the fruit ripen faster, or they're picking the fruit before it's really ready. And then they're just making cheap wine using pesticides and herbicides and all that stuff. And it's mass produced, and it's got glycosate in the wine and all of that. So how does the olive oil fruit ripeness at harvest time play a role in the olive oil quality and pricing? And is that what makes the difference between the artisan versus the mass produced?
It is a large, great question. It is exactly on target, because as olive fruit ripen, 9 times out of 10, there's a few anomalies out there, but they go from green to black. So a green olive, if it's picked early by a top farmer who's making great quality oil, they are going to pick it when there's about 10% yield of oil inside of the fruit. So they're having to produce, they're having to harvest 10 times the amount of fruit to produce one bottle of olive oil. A commodity product, let's say in the south of Spain, in Andalusia, which produces roughly 50% of the world's olive consumption, olive oil consumption, comes out of Andalusia in the south of Spain. They let the olive fruit hang on the tree an extra 30 to 60 days, and well, probably at least 60. And the fruit goes from green to black. And when the fruit is black, there's more oil inside. Let's think about table olives, for example. You've probably had some of the Castelvetrano olives and then tasted those against, let's say, a black Greek olive. The black Greek olive has more oil inside. You can feel it on your palate when you're tasting a black olive. So anyway, in Spain, they would harvest that black olive. They would either A, pay people to harvest it, or just wait for it to fall to the ground, which is how a lot of olives, because they don't have to pay harvest costs then of the black olive. They fall to the ground, they vacuum them up, and they process them. They may get something like 25% olive oil out of those black olives. So you can see where the advantages of for the farmer is to leave the fruit on the tree longer. They're harder to get off if they're greener. There's less oil inside. So there's some crazy folks like me who come along and say, hey, I'm into early harvest olive oil. I want spiciness. I want polyphenols. I want antioxidants. I want all the anti-aging properties. And I'm willing to pay you and your team to harvest this fruit early. I know you're going to get low yield. I'm going to pay you the difference. And because I want something special, and then I fly it to America to my club members.
I love that. Okay. You're like, I will fix this. Thank you, OTJ.
One farm at a time. So yeah, speaking of Italy, there are 550 olive varieties alone in Italy. Some of them are table fruit. Some of them are exclusively for oil. But these 550 olive varieties are just all interesting and amazing. Think about Fuji versus comparing apples again. Think about a Fuji versus a Granny Smith versus a Golden Delicious. They all have their own little flavor profiles, different levels of sweetness, different levels of acidity, different levels of bitterness. It's the same with olive fruit in the Mediterranean basin. And just Italy has 550 olive varieties, which really excites me as an ex chef, because mm-hmm. I see olive oil as a sauce that Mother Nature has made for me. It is a sauce. So I take the different components that I find in different olive varieties on a single farm, whether they're harvested a week early or a week later, if it's the same variety or different varietals, and I create these custom blends for the club. So like what I sent you today is a mild, a medium, and a bold selection. And those selections we use differently inside of our kitchen, kind of like three different levels of sauces, one might say, per quarter.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm excited to taste them, but a couple more questions.
Please.
First. So I want to share that when I was in Italy, I remember the first farmer's market we went to and the various varietals, just like you're saying, of olives in all different colors, shapes, and sizes. And you think of like when you go to Whole Foods and you see the olive oil bar, it was 10 times that size. And I was amazed. Yes. And so I just wanted to share that because that was one of my eye-opening experiences as well in terms of all the different varietals. But Then also I wanted to ask you, so when we're talking about you're harvesting early, you're doing yes. the artisan production,
correct.
And we want it to be fresh because of also the health benefits. Can you talk to me about some of the health benefits of olive oil and why they might not exist or may get worse when it's mass produced?
Yes. So a lot of the research that goes into olive oil, and I will send you some stuff that you can link to in your show notes, but there are tons of studies coming out related to the health benefits of olive oil, specifically extra virgin olive oil and high quality extra virgin olive oil, specifically related to these compounds that are found in olive oil called polyphenols. These polyphenols, we find them in other food items as well, whether it's our greens or whether it's tea or chocolate. These antioxidants are in a lot of the food that we consume. But the antioxidants in olive oil decrease. So let's say today I produce an olive oil that has 600-700 polyphenol, which would be a lot of polyphenols. In 6 months, typically the polyphenol count would be about half of that. So imagine, even if it's super high quality olive oil, you still get a drop in polyphenol levels. And these polyphenols they're discovering are the real key to the Mediterranean diet. Not necessarily that olive oil is a healthy fat. Yes, it's a wonderful fat for our bodies. It's very much akin to even human breast milk. It's a delivery system for nutrients in our body.
Yes.
But we've discovered that these antioxidants are really, like when they do studies and they put people on these groups in a low polyphenol olive oil versus a high polyphenol olive oil, the subjects that are on the higher polyphenol diet using higher polyphenol olive oil, they have better health outcomes. So it's really interesting and that's what's been really beautiful about my journey in olive oil. When I started this, I was really a food, wine, travel guy working for the Food Network chef. I had no interest in health. That's changed a lot in the last 20 years as I've aged myself from my 20s into my 40s, almost 50. Now the science is really catching up with this this amazing tree that we have in the Mediterranean that is a real giver of health and life. And so these antioxidants and the oil itself are wonderful for gut health. I've done a podcast interview with specialists who are related to gut health. I've done podcasts with folks that talk that their specialty is brain health. The brain health benefits of high quality olive oil are there as well. So it's brain, it's gut, it's skin, it's, you know, all these. I mean, there's hardly anything. I don't know anything that amazing olive oil hurts. Like, I feel like, you know, it's this product that's been in the Mediterranean that they've used for so long. And I hinted, I mentioned that how close olive oil is to human breast milk. And when a child in Italy is a year old and they start to consume vegetables, typically organic, steamed mashed vegetables, they all Italian families do this, they put about a teaspoon of olive oil in the mash. And that olive oil becomes the fat soluble delivery system for the food. It makes it more bioavailable. So, you know, and people are shifting away from seed oils and those sort of things. So real high quality olive oil can become like the backbone of healthy cooking for people that are making that transition in their lives as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I know my friend who's a vegan chef, it is the absolute staple of every, how did you flavor this, Leslie? Olive oil. And you're like, oh my God, you know? So it's healthy, it's flavorful, it lowers blood pressure, it helps babies apparently. This is new to me, but I'm so excited to know that now.
Yeah, there's just so many health benefits and there's so much research coming out. So over the 20 years that I've been involved with olive oil, all these studies keep coming out about the higher the quality olive oil, the better health effects. You know, even when it comes to cooking with olive oil, we've discovered that A, you can cook with olive oil because it has antioxidants in it, these polyphenols. If it's a high quality olive oil, it actually protects itself when it's heated. And you're actually getting less polar compounds than you are with, it's highly stable. So I'll send you a research article on that too, that shows the stability of high quality olive oil when heated is fantastic and actually beats out most other oils, even seed oils on the market. So it's the science is kind of catching up with what we've known all along. And it's like, wow, every time a new study comes out, they're all pointing toward these antioxidants, polyphenols, highest quality you can get to get the benefits of the Mediterranean diet. And I feel like a lot of Americans 15, 20 years ago are trying the Mediterranean diet, but using the wrong olive oil. It's not fresh. It's not what they're using in the Mediterranean. It's not that high quality stuff. It's the stuff that was being shipped to us, you know, in these cargo ships that was on the shelves for months in clear bottles, if not years, and being completely devoid of most of the health benefits or the potential health benefit. So we've got a ways to go, but we're on our way, put it that way.
Absolutely. And I know, speaking of the using it as a delivery system, I know some of the supplements that I take use olive oil as a delivery system for their vitamin, their nutrient that they put in there because it's easily absorbed and it's shelf stable. So amazing, you know, another amazing testament to the healing power of olive oil. I know one of my founders that I was interviewing said, so not only are you getting our supplement, but you're getting your daily dose of olive oil, which is good for you too. I'm like, okay, cool.
That's cool. I mean, and I don't know if your group is into this at all, but one thing that they've discovered related to olive oil is that there's a very high level of satiety involved when you consume olive oil. So what that means, your gut is very, and your brain is very happy and satisfied with consumption of high quality olive oil. And so people in my circle who do a lot of fasting as part of their normal dietary routine, they leverage olive oil. My olive oil, they sip it because they can and it tastes amazing. Basically, they leverage that as a way to feel full longer. So there's a lot of research on that too, about how olive oil can be leveraged even for weight loss, which is fantastic. You get to enjoy this amazingly flavored product, but it also fills you up and keeps you full. And it's a great product.
Yeah, absolutely. It does fill you up. It does keep you full. I know when I added it to salad dressings or sandwiches, you can tell that you're full longer. And there's all this talk right now about the GLP-1s and all the weight loss drugs. And all they do is signal to your brain, okay, I'm full, so you don't eat as much. So if these foods, these all or fruits, foods, olives can have the same effect, then you can do the same thing from food.
Naturally.
Signals to your brain. Yeah, that you're full and you eat less.
Yes, no, exactly. No, I absolutely. I'm 100% with you. You know, high quality food is where it's at. You know, it's where the future is. It's where we're investing. You mentioned, like, you know, store-bought salad dressing, or you mentioned salad dressing in general here, which, you know, high quality olive oil is a food delivery for all the greens on your plate. But also, people, you know, they try to, like, I'm going to eat healthy, and your group is very educated, but a lot of folks will go to the grocery store and buy, like, a low fat salad dressing. Most right. of those salad dressings, if you read the label, even if they're made with olive oil, it's probably really crappy olive oil, but one thing you notice, they're full of sugar and they're full of stabilizers and usually seed oil. So it's like the triple threat. I will not touch a store-bought vinaigrette. Like, people don't know how easy it is to just simply have a bottle of olive oil, squeeze a little juice of lemon, a little salt and pepper, and you have a fantastic salad dressing. You don't need all these 900 ingredients you see on the back of a salad dressing bottle. Like, that's such an easy change to me to make.
Yeah, and I think we could do a whole podcast on the non-health benefits of seed oils, but thank you for making that distinction, because what we're talking today is olive oils. Olive is a fruit. It is completely different from seed oils, which have been proven to now cause inflammation leading to disease and all kinds of things. And so we don't want, that's not what we're talking about today. And Correct. Read your labels. You're absolutely right, TJ, because you can make this at home with some of the olive oils that you provide. So let's get back to what you are doing. You fly around quarterly and you go to the regions where it is in season, where it is in harvest. Talk to me, tell me some of those details and absolutely. Where we are going next, where we're going today.
So essentially, the southern hemisphere is the opposite harvest season of the northern hemisphere, just like we get our apples from the southern hemisphere when it's not our season here, or other fruits and vegetables coming from the southern hemisphere. It's the opposite season in the southern versus the northern hemisphere. So our fall in the northern hemisphere, I live in Asheville, North Carolina, coincides with the harvest season in the Mediterranean, which is typically October, November, December, January. Like, those are the main months for olive harvest on our side of the equator. Now, my next trip is to the southern hemisphere. I will be in Chile the first week of May, because their harvest it's actually starting in the next week or so. But I will be there the first week of May to get oils for my club members, because that's the harvest that's starting in the southern hemisphere. And those oils will be flown in by jet. So I'll arrive in country around the 1st of May. I will taste a lot of oils from quite a few different farms. I'll identify the farms I want to work with. I say they've got the climate this year, because there are microclimates in olive oil. You can't use the same farm over and over again, because typically, olive trees are alternate bearers. One year there's a good season, the next year it'll be half as much, the following it'll be the same as 2 years ago, etc. So you can't just find, like, one olive oil producer and say, hey, I just always want to buy from them. You kind of need to understand that these are microclimates and there's rotation that happens in the growing season. So I will be in Chile. I will find the farms that I want to work with. I identify then the varieties I want to use. And then I do tastings to design three different oils for my club members, a mild, a medium, and bold. And then those oils are flown in by jet to arrive in mid-June directly to my club members' homes. So I'm the single link in the chain between the farmer and my club member. And I am a maniac and I'm obsessive about every little detail, and I'm with the oil every step of the way, so nothing happens. And then of course we have the oil third party certified by the top lab in Italy, who puts it through two tastings or two types of tests. One is a chemistry test that looks at the quality of the olive fruit and making sure it would qualify as an extra virgin olive oil, which all of our oils do. And then secondly, in Europe, there is what's called an organoleptic test that is taken. And this is where, and this is what we're going to do when we do our tasting here in a minute, we're going to put our oils through an organoleptic test. And this is how we evaluate. And it has to pass that test before it can be considered true extra virgin olive oil that would meet the International Olive Council's approval. So that's my next trip and what's ahead for the club members.
Well, that's so exciting. By the way, I'm from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I heard you say Asheville.
Yeah. I grew up here. North Carolina is great. It's always good to come back home here. You know, I travel to Chile every year for about 2 weeks. I'm home for a little bit. And then my next trip is to Australia. So nice. Immigrants who left the Mediterranean, because the olive tree is a Mediterranean tree, a born tree, it was then immigrants who left for the New World and these big, you know, waves of immigration that left Europe and went to South America, whether it was Argentina, the Spanish and Italians who went to Argentina, or the Spanish who went to Chile. They took cuttings from their family's trees, their olive trees, and they hid them in their neckties. They opened the seams in their pants, and they would hide cuttings when they got on board, and they would baby them on board the ship, because that was their family culture. That was the healing. That was the health. That was their history as a family were in the trees in the backyard of their grandparents. They took a piece of those to the New World and started planting. And especially for religious purposes as well, they started planting, like in California, we have what's known as the mission olive. Well, it's not really the mission olive. It was planted by missionaries. It's from Spain. Don't know the exact varietal that it is from Spain as it's adapted to California. But these folks who immigrated also went to Australia and in southern Australia, down in Victoria, known as the Garden State. It's a mirror image of the climate, the same in Chile, mirror image of the climate in the Mediterranean, and California is exactly on the southern hemisphere as well. So they've planted in Australia beautiful olive groves there too. Like the Greeks, for example, are in Melbourne. I think it's the second largest group of Greeks outside of Greece is in Melbourne, Australia. So it's really interesting to follow these olive varieties and see what's been taken to the New World, like the family favorites, and see how they've kind of grown their culture in the New World. It's pretty cool.
Well, I love the history behind it as well. And there's so many that we're going to get to taste with the club. I'm so excited. And you do have your pressing reports, which we can talk about. Yes. But I'd love for you to tell me right now, what do I have sitting in front of me? This is the spring 2024 harvest.
Yes. So, yes, as I told you, a lot's been going on in Spain. It's been a very difficult year. I work with, there's a world olive oil competition. There's a guide called Flosole. There's other, Gambio Rosso has an olive oil guide. There are international competitions like the New York Olive Oil Competition, where these olive producers, they send their olive oil the best they can make to these competitions. And the, for example, Flosole, one of the top guides that has about 400 or 500 olive groves around the world, typically ranks their top 20 olive oil producers in the world each year. I'm happy to say that the three producers you have in front of you have each been, and some of them for multiple years, have been in the top 20 producers in the world. So what you are getting your hands on is some of the cream of the crop from the very best producers. And these are people that know how to manage the fruit, the trees, the irrigation. They know how to get it into the mill quickly. They know how to process it with top-notch machinery that minimizes oxidation and preserves those polyphenols at a very cool temperature. They also know how to store it quickly and get it to me, I fly it in. So this is a special moment that my club members get to have each quarter. So I told you we do a mild, a medium, and bold. So the first one we're going to taste, Allison, is the Arbequina. So Arbequina, I've got a tasting cup in front of me. I'm going to pour about a tablespoon of olive oil in the cup. And okay. We're not going to taste right away. We're going to first do a sensory analysis just using our nose. So we've got about a tablespoon in the bottom of our cup. What we use is the palm of our hand. We place the cup in the palm of our hand, and we start to swirl the olive oil around. And what that's doing, that's warming the olive oil. When we warm the olive oil, like putting it on a nice warm plate of food, it just brings it alive if it's a high quality product. So Arbequina is this olive variety. It's a Spanish olive variety. This is from a producer that I work with called Castilla de Canena. They are, I think they have the perfect score in Flor Sole of a 100 for multiple years in a row. I think they're maybe the only farm in the world that has that 100 point score for years in a row. But what we're going to do, we're going to smell this. We're going to take a whiff.
Okay.
I mean, I already smell it before I put my nose in the glass. Like it's already getting me excited. So the tasting note card that comes with it, I'll wax poetically while you actually smell it. And let's see if you can pick some of these things out. So this is the mild Arbequina. This Arbequina leads with a fragrant bouquet of fresh fruit.
Let's do it.
I need more fun.
Okay, I'm going to just guess, but
do it.
It's like something green.
Yes.
And something fruity.
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay. I don't know what though, but it's like green and fruity.
That's right. Almost. Grassy and fruity. That's exactly.
Okay.
You hit the nail on the head there because you'll appreciate the apple, which is probably the green apple, the green banana, citrus, a little golden kiwi and pear, along with the rich aromas of almond and wild mint, and vegetal notes of green grass and lettuce, and a pleasant hint of white pepper. So let's see. Let's swirl that around. I definitely get all those green things, and definitely getting a lot of the kind of the wild mint. I get that kind of freshness of mint in there.
Oh my gosh, now I do too.
Yes,
I know. Now, I don't know if it's psychosomatic, but now that you said, I'm like, oh, there's mint.
Yes, well, tasting, everyone has their own experience, and that's what's beautiful about it, right? You open one of these bottles and you take a moment to just really appreciate and dive into the gratitude for the farmer that made this. They put a lot of love, heart, soul into this product for you. And it's just my job to get it to you as quickly as I can in the best state possible for you to enjoy the fruits of their labor. So that's why they love to work with me. That's why they save the best fruit. That's why they work with me year after year to try to hit this high, high standard, the highest in the world. I set the goal really high. So they have to produce an oil that is going to fit my profile for me to select it for the club. And they really enjoy that because they know it's not going to be sitting on a store shelf somewhere for months under hot lights and not stored well. My people are great. My club members are great appreciators of quality. So all those things you said about the nose, 100%. And then we're going to do a little taste. And how we do that, so we're going to take we've got about a tablespoon in our cup. We're going to put about a teaspoon on our palate, and we're going to kind of chew it. We could get fancy and try to suck air into it like we do with wine, but a lot of times that leads to coughing. So let's stay on the training wheels version of this. Let's take about a teaspoon, and we'll talk about what you should taste in here. I'm going to do the same thing.
Okay, here I go.
Mm. Mm. right away, all those green things start hitting your palate. You're going to notice in a high quality olive oil, two things that you're not used to tasting. I'll just enjoy this a second. So nice. You're going to notice a bitterness. Bitterness tells you it's from early harvest fruit. And when I say bitterness, I mean like arugula, green tea, walnut skin. Like those are the things that I would identify as bitter, like radicchio, like arugula. Those sort of things are bitter. And then the next thing you're going to notice those polyphenols dancing around on your tongue, maybe a touch numbing, but you'll also notice this peppery pinch in the back of the throat.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. Yes. All pepper.
And this is the mild, okay? So
Oh, God.
The first time I tasted in Tuscany, I stepped up to the mill and these producers that I was hanging out with said, TJ, be careful. This is a 3-cough oil. I'm like, what do you mean 3-cough oil? They're like, yeah, this is a 1-cough, a 2-cough, or a 3-cough oil, meaning how bold, how much polyphenols, how much antioxidants are in the oil. So this peppery pinch is the hallmark of freshness. So,
okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I almost coughed, but then I swallowed it because I was embarrassed. But I almost coughed. I was like, whoa.
That's perfect. Well, so what have we learned? One, an olive oil, a high-quality olive oil should have a beautiful aroma. One would typically call that fruity. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be fruit. It could be grass. It could be herbs. It could be nuts. It could be lots of things. Usually there's a fruit involved and an herb involved, but basically you smell something that smells pleasant, like a beautiful from the garden type of sensation. Yeah. So that's one note we look for, and you would get scored on by the organoleptic panel. Two, you're going to get scored on bitterness. You want the oil from early harvest fruit should be bitter. If your olive oil is not bitter, like we talked about arugula, radicchio, green tea, those sort of things. That tells you it's from higher yield oil that's more buttery. That would be less antioxidants and less polyphenols in that. And then three, you want to look for this peppery punch. This little pinch tells you it's a hallmark of freshness. So that will go away in 6 months. Or so, you will start to lose a large percentage of that as those antioxidants start to fade. So those are your three hallmarks. So
you say that'll start to go away after 6 months. Is that in general or once it's open?
In general, okay. Even if it's in a large vat, it'll start the scientific studies say about 50% polyphenol reduction in 6 months after pressing. So, so the best, even if you get the best quality olive oil, the most expensive one, you know, learning to look at harvest dates, you know, most of the time, olive oils don't even tell you the harvest date of the oil. You're kind of forced to look at expiration date, which tells you nothing because it could be dated out for years. So, you know, having a relationship and being able to taste and identify the three properties we just talked about, fruitiness, bitterness, spiciness, if your olive oil does not have those trademarks, you are not consuming the best olive oil in the world. You're consuming something that is not the same quality level.
And I see on the bottle here, it says Spanish harvest season, late 2023 to early 2024. So how quickly, I know that it's, how quickly are you able to get it to us when we are in the wine? In the club.
Yeah. So every quarter is different. Some, like the one in Chile we talked about, is a May harvest, and it is a June delivery. And depending on what's happening in the Mediterranean and the season, if it's one of those years where there's not much fruit on the tree accelerates the ripening of the fruit. So what I do, I have them get it earlier. So my club members get this oil in early March. Is when this oil was delivered to them. This oil was mostly harvested December, January. Like that's the main like harvest window, but they're still harvesting in Spain on a big year up until March or April. Like I remember I was telling you, they like let the fruit hang on the tree until it falls mm-hmm. off, and they vacuum it up and then they send it to a refinery and they create something called light olive oil. Cause people think light olive oil is somehow healthier or has less calories. It doesn't. It's exactly all it is an olive oil that's been stripped of its negative. A tasting panel, they have two goals. One, an organoleptic tasting panel has two goals. One is to disqualify it from being extra virgin, which means it doesn't meet the taste qualities to be considered extra virgin. Something would have happened to the fruit or in the mill, etc., that would have deemed it to have a defect. These defects I'm talking about are like winy and briny and musty and fusty. There are all these like special things that professional olive oil tasters look for that tell you the story of what happened in the production process and when the fruit was on the tree and the quality. So the goal of the tasting panel is to disqualify it or to grade it to say it's extra virgin, virgin, Lampante, or should be refined, that sort of thing. And then the second thing they do is then qualify it. If it is extra virgin, what qualities are there of the fruitiness, the bitterness, and the spicy, the pepperiness. So there's actually two roles that an olive oil tasting panel, and they're all over the world. We have olive oil tasting panels in California. We have them all over the Mediterranean and in the New World as well. It's a group of people that are specially trained tasters who assess olive oil and give it, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, or classify it.
Gotcha. Okay. So what are some of the pairings that we would do with the first one, with this mild spring 2024 Arbequina?
Yes. So for this one, so think of, again, olive oil is a sauce that Mother Nature made for you. I really like on the palate on this oil, I said it's very complex and balanced with intense flavors of almond, grass, and herbs, an elegant bitterness of endive and escarole, and the lingering spiciness of white pepper. That's that peppery pinch.
I got the peppery pinch.
I say for food recommendation, I said lavish it on salads with fruit and nuts, such as a mixed green salad with citrus with a sherry vinaigrette. Great with delicate dishes, more like roasted carrots, other root vegetable dishes, spring green peas, sauteed mushrooms, vegetable paella, soft rind cheeses, even vanilla ice cream or a yogurt parfait or chiffon cake or nut or apple-based desserts. So this is a sweeter, like fruity style that is fruit and green forward. So anything from smoothies to your yogurt parfait in the morning, like this is amazing with. Amazing.
Yeah. I learned the ice cream. Excuse me, hold on. There's take pepper in my throat.
Sorry, I'm going to drink some water too because I'm cleaning my palate because we got two more to taste. So this is going to get fun.
I know. I was going to tell you that I learned about pairing olive oil with ice cream and yogurt in Italy because I had never heard that before and that was just not normal. But they had, where we were staying, the orange olive oil and the lemon olive oil, and you paired that. Wow, I'm getting so much pepper.
That's too funny. It really got you at the right moment. But they paired really that with ice cream, which is interesting that you bring that up. You bring up the concept of flavored olive oil. And I want to talk to your folks about that for a second.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do
it. I am typically not a fan of flavored olive oil. Typically, okay. What that means to me in the broader, let's say, what we would find here in the US, most of the time they take a sub quality olive oil, subpar, flavorless, high yield olive oil, and then they add some type of extract or some kind of essence or oil to it, like an orange oil, for example. Now, that is totally different than what you enjoyed in Italy, where the farmer actually, at the moment of making the olives, when they're pressing the olives, they're also putting fruit in the malaxer at the same time. And that's right. aromatizing the oil. So you have to be careful in America buying flavored oil, garlic flavor, or, you know, those things are unnatural products. Those are not natural products. You want to go to an artisanal source for that. So in that case, you taste probably the difference. Like if you tried to come home and try that with an orange olive oil you picked up at the supermarket, it's not going to execute the way you think. So in general, I stay away. I like to make my own infused olive oils. If I'm going to make a basil olive oil, for example, I'll take this olive oil, the one like we tasted, I will take some torn basil. I'll put it in a food processor or a blender. I'll mix it up. I'll let it sit for 15, 20 minutes. I can strain it. And then I've got a beautiful, fresh basil olive oil that I can drizzle on anything I like, a tomato mozzarella salad or, you know, whatever. And you also talked a little bit about vinaigrettes before. I love to leverage a vinaigrette in multiple ways. Like you've told me your folks love like roast vegetables, for example, roasted root vegetables. So those, when they come out of the oven, you take some of this, let's say a simple vinaigrette, which you just make in a jar, which would be about 2 to 3 tablespoons of olive oil, a tablespoon of lemon juice or vinegar. Throw in some fresh herbs. You could put in some minced garlic or fresh pressed garlic, a little bit of honey, a little bit of mustard, powdered mustard would be fine, or Dijon, whatever you like, and just shake the jar up. And that makes a very quick vinaigrette. And I like to use that in two ways. So if I'm making a beautiful salad, I will make a base of greens. I'll dress my greens in a bowl. I'll put those on my plate. But if I'm having roast veggies on top of that salad, I will, once the veggies come out of the oven, I'll take a few tablespoons of my vinaigrette and I will actually dress and robe my warm vegetables in that vinaigrette. And it is like heaven. You just put that on top of your salad. And it's just like, I love to have like cross utilization and really simplifying things in my kitchen, but also being able to get maximum impact while minimizing all the down quality ingredients that I don't want in my life. So anyway, it is, I mean, one thing to think about is leveraging vinaigrettes, these simple vinaigrettes, in your kitchen in multiple ways.
Yes, so easy to make some delicious salad dressings. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. My mouth is watering. It's lunchtime, so I'm like,
okay. Think agave.
Can I eat some food now?
Well, you can, you definitely can. But let's keep your palate clean if possible. I mean, when we're tasting professionally, we use apples between. We'll taste a slice of apple to clean our palate. It takes away the bitterness, and just gives us a fresh palate. So I like apple. I also love yogurt. I heard you have some mozzarella. So if you want to indulge in a piece of mozzarella, you can. Otherwise, we're going to move on to oil number two. We'll do an abbreviated tasting on this one, but this is pequal. So pequal is this massive olive variety that's grown all over the south of Spain. It's the heavy lifter. It's the one that makes really terrible tasting olive oil. If it's harvested black, I absolutely hate it. But around 20 years ago, my friend Paco, my friend Jose, started doing this super early harvest of pequal and producing this new style of pequal, high in antioxidant, high polyphenol, high in flavor. So let's take a whiff of this pequal before we taste it.
Okay.
Oh, this is heaven. I love this. I love this oil. It is literally like pesto in a bottle. Like it's green, it's grassy, it's bold. It's got like all these aromas coming out of the cup.
Can I make a guess?
Yeah, I was going to say, please. What do you think? What do you think?
Oregano?
Yes, totally. Yep, fresh
grassy
oregano.
Grassy green again. Grassy green.
Absolutely. Very wheat grassy even. Like wheat grass juice even.
This one, I'm not getting any fruit.
No? Okay. Let's see what I said. I mean, and this one I'm getting some green, like green banana.
Real green.
But let's see what I said. Okay. I said green and grassy aroma of this piquol enchant. Inhale chopped culinary herbs, thyme, oregano, ding, 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 you said. Rosemary, bay leaf, Tuscan kale, baby spinach, walnuts, with a hint of green apple and kiwi. And then and we're going to taste. I'll let you taste a little bit while I talk about it. Taste the flavors of dark leafy greens like kale, tomato leaf. This one has a – piquol is known to have this tomato leaf character to it. Basil, microgreens, wheatgrass, not too much because it might be spicy, and parsley. The sweetness of pine nuts, bitterness of radicchio and baby arugula, and the spiciness of celery leaves and freshly ground black peppercorn. So that is what I've said this one tastes like. And this one goes great with medium intensity foods like tomato salad, salads with radicchio and spring greens, like vegetable-based pasta sauces, barley-based soups, gazpacho, pizza, focaccia, steamed artichokes, grilled vegetables, white beans. Tonight, I'm telling you, take simple canned white beans, drain them, warm them up, drizzle this on top with a little bit of salt. You need three ingredient food. You've got great olive oil, you have salt, and you have wonderful cannellini beans. And you're going to be in heaven. You're going to be like, this is the best thing I've had in a week because it's just like leveraging the power of the fresh pressed olive oil. Bean soups, herbal vinaigrettes, and chocolate mousse, and I have a recipe for an almond orange cake as well in the pressing report. So yeah, what do you think of this one?
This one didn't make me need to cough as much, although I do taste the peppercorn and it is a little bit bitter. But this one to me and my palate, I don't know, is lighter than the first one.
Yeah, and you know, they're alive in the bottle, so they change and evolve. So, you know, when I write these tasting notes a month and a half ago, you know, it's a change in evolution. And this is the really, really cool thing about it. So the next one I have is a blend. This is the bold for the quarter. This is a variety called Oji Blanco or Oji Blanca. It's about 92% Oji Blanca. There are actually two different Oji Blancas in here. They were harvested about a week apart from two different microclimates. Same farm, and then it's got about 8% of the Picudo olive variety. So let's warm that up in our cups and see what we get in here on this one.
Okay.
And these are just olives. There's nothing in here. These are just single varietal olives in the first two, right? This is the only one that's technically a blend of two different olive varieties. And I just chose to do that as a chef because I thought it really rounded out and made the sum greater than the part. So this olive, this is a bolder one. So this one, if you're grilling vegetables, for example, you would want to use because it will stand up to more grilled foods. I don't know if your group likes halloumi or not, but you know, for people that are vegetarians who do like halloumi, it's very trendy all over the world now as a grilling cheese, and people use it. And I think they're plant-based halloumis as well. Wonderful plant-based grilled cheeses top the grilled cheese with this oil. This would just like make it heavenly. I'm gonna take a sip. It just smells so good in the cup. I've got a get my taste buds in here.
Yeah, all of these I would put on a grilled cheese. For this one, I think I taste a fruity vegetable, like a tomato, like something, a fruity vegetable.
Yep. Absolutely. I say this one has an interesting celery character to it. Think about celery and celery seed when it's on your palate. You get a little of that kind of like bitterness of celery seed. But I say this one sings with grassy and herbal notes of basil, parsley, peppermint, and tomato leaf that give way to hints of raw carrot, tops, celery, rhubarb, Belgian endive, and wheatgrass. Fennel and honeydew. On the palate, you'll taste hints of nasturtium and rose, kind of a floral element to the palate, along with green tomato, baby spinach. There's a little mineraliness of spinach you can taste in there. And it's a long lingering spiciness, this celery leaf spiciness. I taste a little Asian pear and some nuttiness of hazelnut, with a pleasing bitterness of arugula and spiciness of a peppercorn melange. So I paired this one with asparagus frittata. I've done this one with roasted or baked potatoes is fantastic. Beans, lentils, and other pulses. Tomato-based dishes like pan con tomate or bruschetta, crusty bread, aged or you know, whatever vegan cheeses you like, and hard cheeses, as well as vanilla custard or chocolate desserts. So even replacing the oil you use in your baked goods. Can you imagine making a banana nut loaf with that first oil that we had, the arbequina? Could you imagine what that would taste like? Like, so there's so many seed oils that we find in our baked goods, and you can bake like a basic box of brownies, and you can go low Duncan Hines, or you can go up all the way to Ghirardelli. You replace the oil that the recipe calls for with high quality olive oil, and they're going to be some of the best brownies you've ever tasted in your life. And you're going to be like, made the difference? It was the olive oil. So olive oil in your baked goods is a great way to get some wonderful, antioxidants and polyphenols in your system.
Yes, I can confirm that, not because I'm an amazing chef, but my friend who is an amazing chef and swears by olive oil, that is her secret to all of these delicious tasting things that just have a flavor like nothing else and have the health benefits like you mentioned as well. So that was an amazing tasting. Oh. I'm starving. I can't wait to try this with all. I brought my two vegan cheeses. So I've got my Parmesan and my mozzarella. So next I'll have to taste with the cheese and like make some fun recipes. I did make it with a potato gnocchi the other night, and then I made a salad dressing. Yes. So I'm already in.
Good. Well, you know, the best way for people to try this olive oil is to do their own at home tasting. And so what I've done for Food Heals, and you know, it's people like you who make my job possible and to support these small family farmers. We're rehabbing olive groves around the world. In Greece, we're taking abandoned olive groves. We're rehabbing them. We're getting them back into production to support the club. We are working with small family farmers supporting really sustainable agriculture in these communities around the world. So this is a great product to get behind. So what we do to get people to try the club and to do a taste test at home, they join the club for $1. Basically, you know, just tells me like, you know, you got a little skin in the game. I want you to try it. But to take advantage of a $1 offer, and that's for a 250 ml bottle or a 500 ml bottle, doesn't matter, they're both a dollar, your folks need to visit www.getfresh323.com. Getfresh323.com. And that is where they'll read all about the club, read all about me, the quarterly shipping cycle. They'll have a good 2-3 weeks to try the oil in their home before they would ever receive a 3-bottle set. People, you know, this is the best way. Once people, I'm a chef, I think the proof's in the pudding. You need to try it in the kitchen. You need to see if it's for you, and do your own taste test. And then you really know from that point forward, any olive oil you taste, you'll be spoiled and you'll go to restaurants and you're like, I'm not touching that olive oil that they put in the center of the table for me to dip my bread in because I know it's rancid and old and nasty because you're going to get spoiled on the good stuff in your home. But anyway, for your folks only, this is not on our website. They have to go to getfresh323.com and get their introductory bottle for a dollar. And there's no commitment to buy anything ever after that point. They can drop out at any time. Just let us know in the first 2-3 weeks that, you know, you're not interested in joining the club. You take the bottle, you enjoy it. I know you'll eventually fall in love with it and come back to me. So anyway, that's how folks, it's a really easy kind of get to know the club offer just for your folks. So I really appreciate you helping us get the word out and helping us with this mission.
Yes, I really appreciate your mission and thank you so much. Such a gift, Food Heals Nation. Go get your $1 of delicious, fresh, organic olive oil straight from TJ. And that's all over at getfresh323.com. TJ, I am so grateful that you came on today. I'm so grateful for the olive oil that you sent and I can't wait to make some recipes. I'll share them with you. Food Heals Nation, TJ. Yes, thank you.
Can't wait. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. I know this was a lot of fun. We were hoping to keep it on the shorter side, but it's so much fun. I'm glad you enjoyed it. This is great fun. Thank you for sharing this again with your folks.
Well, we can't help it. This is the Food Heals podcast. We know olive oil heals, so we couldn't stop talking about it.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you again, Allison. Can't wait to be back on.
Thanks, TJ.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This podcast is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Side effects of this podcast may include increased health and vitality, thoughts of living longer, developing a more positive outlook on life. In rare cases, people have experienced a strong desire to actually start using their $39.99 a month gym membership. If you experience any of these symptoms, Snapchat your trainer immediately.